thank you for downloading the most recent episode of On the Odd. As the summer approaches and I begin a huge undertaking of brand new interviews, I was asked, how many episodes do you have in the can? Well, I decided to count them today, and it is a staggering 45 episodes that each need to be edited and released. Over the past year, I've released nearly 100 episodes that cover every fringe topic that I could think of, but there is more to come. Throughout the rest of June and throughout July, I will be releasing each of those 45 episodes as quickly as we can edit them. That's about 45 plus hours of brand new insight into the world of UFOs, the paranormal, hauntings, spirituality, and even aromatherapy. Stay tuned, because On the Odd is here to stay, and the channel is about to blow up with brand new content. Have an idea for the show? Maybe you want to share a personal story? You can email me at mark@ontheodd.com. That's mark@ontheodd.com. So please subscribe, share, and review. I would really appreciate it. Now, without further ado, here's the episode.
From the paranormal to the extraordinary, from the weird to the wonderful, this is On the Odd.
Hello, you are listening to On the Odd. My name is Mark. Today we have a very special guest. We have author Lisa Monica. Love Monica. See, I'm butchering everything, Lisa. I'm so sorry. Jeez. But I'm going to roll with it this time. We have author Lisa LaMonica. And I, welcome to the show, Lisa. How are you?
I'm great. How are you on this October day?
I'm doing really well. I'm enjoying the coolness of the season here on.
So am I. The beautiful colors and the sunlight and the coolness is important to me too.
Yeah, I love it. And I was just talking to somebody that New York is the perfect place if you want to experience every single season. You know, our summers are hot, our winters are cold, and you get genuine fall and you get genuine spring. Nowhere else in the earth can you say that really about, you know, the tri-state area anyway.
Right.
So you've written a number of books, and I wanted to just kind of give, I guess, an overview about them. You've written children's books, but also books about haunted areas of New York. And in particular, the Catskills. Which, when I was a kid, I always loved cats, even now. And I always thought, why is it called Catskills? And I think my mother made up some terrible story right on the spot. It's like, that's where they kill cats. So, yeah, it's like, thanks, Mom. Thanks for that image of a town that kills cats. So you also wrote a book about the history of the Hudson.
Of Hudson, yes, the city of Hudson, and I'm finishing up a similar book about Kinderhook, the history of Kinderhook, which Kinderhook is very interesting to me because the Legend of Sleepy Hollow, Washington Irvington's book, was based on people that lived in Kinderhook. Mm-hmm. So it's fascinating to me, and I got to write a lot about that and research, so that will be in my upcoming book, Images of America, Kinderhook.
And is it a similar book to the Arcadia Publishing one? Like, you know, it has that sepia tone photograph on the cover. I love these books. You know, I think, you know, and they get expanded more and more. You know, every small town has one, it seems. And they're always amazing. The photographs are always great. The quality of the paper is usually pretty good. We have a couple of them here on Long Island, and I met this one woman who wrote the one for the area that I live in, which is called the Five Towns, and I just love seeing, you know, your block, for instance, in like 1921 or something, you know.
I still have family on Long Island, and I used to live in Patchogue, and my brother used to live in Huntington Station. I have family in Center Reach.
You escaped, though.
I wanted to be back upstate where all the trees are, because I love trees, and I, as an artist, I love to paint trees, and I like, you know, just I like all the different, you know, country aspects of upstate. So for me, I needed to be in a more rural, less, you know, metropolitan area.
Yeah, I, you know, my wife and I are looking in the area of surrounding areas of Lancaster in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yes.
We're trying to play around with the idea of either the possibility of a second house or just making a real move.
Right.
I have a 10-year-old son, so it has to wait until he's out of school. But, you know, we want to have some level of an exit plan. But for those exact reasons that you're talking about, I love upstate New York and western New York. It's just so different. It's so different than, you know, here. But also in just a few hours, you can be right in the middle of Manhattan.
Right. Upstate New York would work well for you. And you can do what you do up here and travel back and forth. And
I'm on my way.
Yes.
I'll
give you a tour.
That'd be awesome.
Yes.
So you have a couple other books, though, I wanted to bring up. Children's books. And children's books fascinate me. And I think that you also, you have On Halloween, I Love You as Big as the Moon. Now, this is a children's book?
Yes.
But at the same time, you know, you're really focusing on, I think you have a dark side. But I don't think that the book is going to be dark, but it's definitely going to be refreshing. Because I think that there's a trend right now, and I'm not right now, for the past 15 years with kids' books, that they have to be so safe and they have to be, everybody has to be so simple and easy to deal with and all, everything. And for you to just throw the word Halloween on the cover of a book, you know, in 2018, I know it was written a little while ago, but for that book to exist and be a modern book, I think is it's refreshing. Because, we all know these books. There are no scary books for kids.
Right. It's a very limited market, like you said, but Halloween in America alone is $1 billion a year business.
Mm-hmm.
And people never get tired of Halloween and the imagery and the scary stories and just everything associated with Halloween. And I certainly love it.
Me too.
So it's something that I love to continue to write and illustrate about. And also, whether it's children's books or it's for older, you know, markets, mm-hmm. the folklore and mythology of the state, it's just fascinating to me.
So do you have you ventured into the history of also Long Island and outside of just New York? Like, is this like an expanding type of?
It could,
I don't want to call
be.
It a hobby, I mean, it's a career choice.
It could be. I mean, I could do, you know, I'm always pitching, you know, books to other publishers and agents, and I could certainly expand and do a book about all of New York and its folklore and ghost stories. That's something that's interesting to me, too.
12 volumes, at least, you know. It's.
Oh, yes. I mean, I also have been speaking with a literary agent about doing a Haunted Berkshires book. Really? So hopefully that's something I can get going with a publisher as well. So there's a lot of material, and it's just, you know, when you do a book, you meet people that have stories that and photographs that you haven't been able to uncover elsewhere. So you just keep meeting people through events and book signings and things that you didn't get to meet when you were researching for the book. So there's always new material that comes up.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I think is really great whenever I speak to researchers, because I look at these books as like Haunted Catskills, I'm going to look at this book as not only a record of good folk stories that exist from the area, like, you know, that have been handed down, but also it touches upon a lot of history. And I think that you prove that with your other book about the Hudson, about Hudson. And, you know, you must have a genuine love of history in general of the area.
Yes.
One of the things I really love, and it's coming up more and more, is that when I was a kid, I'm in my mid 40s. So when I would do research when I was a kid, it's like, and you had to go read a newspaper. You had these little microfiche things. And it's like, you're in front of this thing that looks like a flat screen monitor, but it's not nearly as fancy because it's just zooming in on this little tiny negative. And you had to read the newspaper. Like, if you wanted to do research, guess what? You're reading the whole newspaper.
Yes.
And now it's like the magic of the future where you just type in a little keyword and you're all of a sudden finding all of these things that would have normally been impossible, you know, 30 years ago.
Or would involve a lot of travel. Now sure. you can do it from your home office. You can just pull up on Facebook and just doing a Google search, you can pull up so much information, mm-hmm. which makes it really great. I mean, and then you can sometimes like go down all these rabbit holes too. I mean, you just get involved in all of these fascinating stories and newspaper articles and book, you know, excerpts and, mm-hmm. you know, you can spend a lot of time reading and researching, but that's what makes it so much fun to do a book also.
Right. The sun starts coming up and it's like, I have yet to go to bed. You know, another thing is a lot of people will say, well, you know, now you, it's making it too easy to find this information. But when you take somebody like you who has a love of this, you know, you have a genuine passion for this information, you can take what is needed from it and then put it into a digestible version like your books. I just think it's such an important thing to be doing right now. Although the data may be here to stay, it's just really important to kind of start categorizing it and kind of, you know, it to go through this still is a laborious effort. It might be easier. It's still not easy. Mm-hmm. You type in,
and a lot of the stories and photographs have been lost to time, and and it's just important every few years to put something out that's fresh. And Haunted Catskills gave me, you know, the opportunity to do that. Some of these stories go back to Dutch and Indian times, and then some of them were just, you know, from the 1800s even. But you know, they need to be put in one place so that it's easily searchable and people can, you know, just be fascinated with these stories all over again.
Have you always wanted to kind of get into writing about it? It just sounds like you have a genuine passion about writing in general, but
yes.
Have you always wanted to be a writer?
I would say since my 20s, I was interested in doing books. I was always an artist, and then I wanted to do books. I wanted to write and illustrate children's books. And then I got into the area of folklore and ghost stories. And, you know, I wanted to put together, you know, just different types of volumes. And I'm still fascinated with books. So it's something that I want to keep doing.
Mm-hmm. And you also illustrate your books, right? You're the,
yes.
I mean, it's like, that's a really great thing. I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize that very often publishers will, you know, kind of really try to team up two people. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But when you're two in the same, you know, that I think that's really great. You know, you can really control a lot of your story with that, I think.
I like that I can do both, and I love that I can actually do art and put some in my books. I mean, it's just, I just am really happy that I can do that.
I think that it offers a certain level of thoughtfulness. Not to say that other people haven't achieved great things by, you know, putting a team together. It's just, it just seems a little bit more convenient and more thoughtful when it's all one person.
You know? Thank you. It's a little bit more cohesive. You know, it's if you have the passion for what you're writing about, and then you can illustrate it too. It's just neat to be able to do both.
And I was looking at a couple of illustrations that you have on your website, which is lisalamonica.com. And I like it. It's like darker stuff. You know, I definitely like this style of art. And
thank you.
It's really kind of fantasy based. I'd look at it as an airy, like I can't really not fantasy, like, you know, wacky fantasy, but it's
right. Good. Some of the fairy art. Yeah. It's sort of mystical.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, now what made you kind of decide to get into the topic of writing about haunted New York or Catskills?
Well, I had moved to Hudson after I sold a house, and I was living in an old house that my brother owned, and I started talking to business owners that lived and worked, you know, within like a 3-block, you know, area of Warren Street in Hudson. And there was this common theme where there was some goings on in these old buildings. And some of these business owners had moved up to the area from New York City and different parts of the country. And, you know, they didn't know the history of the buildings or the town that they were living in. But some of these business owners, like, you know, a real estate office, a gallery owner, they started having these, you know, strange, you know, occurrences happening. And I was living in this old house that my brother owned on
Columbia Street. And how old was the house, if you don't mind me asking?
From the 1800s.
Okay.
And it was a house that just seemed to have some, you know, activity in it. And it, you know, my brother owned it. It had been a rental over the years. He had different tenants living there. And after I moved out, I'd bump into a tenant in a coffee shop. And she said to me, you know, when you were living in your brother's house, did you ever hear anybody walking around upstairs? And I said, yes, I did hear that. And she mentioned this really uncomfortable feeling of being there alone. And she kept hearing this person walking around upstairs, but there, you know, obviously there was no one there. She lived alone. And so some of these old buildings just seem to retain some sort of an energy. And so I started researching Hudson, and I came across a story from the 1950s when Hans Holzer wrote about a house on 6th Street called the Dietz House. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's something to the energy in Hudson, but also, you know, the older parts of New York State itself. And it just, it made me want to write a book. So I reached out to publishers. I wanted to write about, you know, haunted houses. And I found a publisher that wanted me to do a book about the Catskills. And I asked if I could include some Hudson stories. So even though Hudson isn't the Catskills, that was a condition for me to do the book. I wanted to be able to write about these Hudson houses too. So that's how that came about.
And how was it received by the people of Catskill?
It's been very popular. I mean, the book came out 5 years ago, and there's always somebody that's never heard of it, even though we're in modern times with social media. Mm. People are just still fascinated with the stories of, you know, Dutch and Indian people that lived here and the legend of Sleepy Hollow and some famous ghost stories. There's one called Dragged by the Noose, and that sort of is in the Leeds area, Leeds near Catskill. And that's just a famous ghost story that's been written about over the years by different scholars and dissected. Like, what does it mean? It has like these sociological, you know, overtones of, you know, immigrants being here and land issues. And it just, you know, just some really fascinating ghost stories of the region. Hudson, mm-hmm. too. Like I said, Hudson's got some sort of otherworldly, like it's a portal to something. And there's just some energy there that some of it's, you know, sort of dark, you know?
Sure. I mean, I definitely think there's a lot of, I guess, residual hauntings that are throughout the entire tri-state area. I mean, it is, it's a very old area. It's a very,
right.
And it's also a very well-lived area throughout history. Time way before the white people came here. And no, I definitely think that there's something about New York that makes it kind of a hotbed for different right. paranormal behavior. But
and then I started researching, you know, the different types of ghost stories and you know, how much scientific you know, elements are to this. And I started reading about, you know, like psychic imprints left in an area that some people can pick up. And so there's different types of hauntings and there's different types of people that can receive that sort of information. So I started researching a lot about that also. And that in itself is fascinating. But, you know, it just is something that people never get tired of. And I think you're going to see in the next, you know, 20 years, there's going to be even more scientific breakthroughs and information about what it really is.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see some serious stuff come out with, having to do with studying this. I mean, the studying of parapsychology is definitely something that's kind of ever expanding. Right. On the other hand, you have shows that claim to take it very seriously, but in my opinion, it's more along the lines of to sell those commercials in between, like such, you know, like Ghost Hunters and these
I kind know. Of
things. It's fun, you know. I'm not going to say it's mm-hmm. not fun to watch this stuff. I'm not exactly a fan of it, but I get it. You know, I fully understand it. But I would like you're saying, to have some level of a breakthrough with the world of parapsychology. You know, it's something that I think, but you know what, if I'm taking it seriously and you're taking it seriously, that we're not alone here. It's just, you know, it's just you and me. No. So
I've copied some articles onto the Facebook page for Haunted Catskills, some scientific articles that I've come across in the past few years that are just fascinating about whether or not there is a soul and consciousness after we die, and thermodynamics. And
I'm right near JFK, by the way, so you probably hear a 757 going over my house right now. So I'm not getting hit by the plane, but I'm only 10 miles from the airport. So.
Oh, wow. So, did not know that.
I'm not being attacked. Not being attacked. Sorry.
So, you know, there's some interesting articles on the Facebook page for Haunted Catskills that, you know, if people want to read up on it, there is science there. It's something worth paying attention to. And I mean, sometimes I watch that show on the History Channel, Ancient Aliens, and sometimes they do touch on the paranormal. I think they did have a show about specifically the soul and consciousness after we pass away. And, you know, it's interesting to read about, certainly.
I know it's one of those unanswered questions that we can't seem to get to the bottom of. Now you mentioned when you lived in this house that was owned by your brother, you had heard noises.
Right.
Do you have other paranormal experiences or other, you know what, they don't have to be paranormal. They just have to be unexplained, really. You know, not every noise is paranormal.
And what started this for me was 14 years ago, my boyfriend passed away, and I started noticing some things in the house that I was living in that I owned, just some things being moved. And I had some really freaky experiences after he passed away, which, you know, also wound up happening in this house of my brother's too. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine brought me to a psychic that was doing a talk at the Mirabai bookstore in Woodstock. And she was giving this presentation in front of like 20 people. And then afterwards, she was willing to give like a 5-minute reading on anybody that was interested. And so since I had had this experience of a boyfriend just passing away and, you know, some things that had happened in my house, I figured, well, what, you know, what the heck? I mean, she's either going to tell me something or not. And I was totally skeptical. And, you know, I stood in front of this woman and then she said, okay, you can sit down. And there were, you know, this was a class. And she told me things about my boyfriend that there's no way she could have known. Mm. She also said that he's around you more than you realize, specifically when you're with your dog, and he moves things to get your attention. And I mean, by the end of this talk, she had several people crying. I mean, me included, because I was totally skeptical. But she told me a lot of things, and she wasn't, you know, she wasn't vague. I mean, the fact that she was able to tell me about an object that was green, that was moved, and these things were happening when I was home with my dog. She was pretty specific. And I mean, it just made me realize some people have a gift that we don't fully understand. And she said things to me that made sense, like years down the road, even, right. You know, just, you know, things that happened. And I was a skeptic, like I said, but I was also kind of looking to see, you know, is there an explanation for these things? I mean, and I started researching about, you know, the brain waves of grieving people. And I came across articles that said that, you know, grieving people don't have the brain wavelength that would even allow them to hallucinate. You know, they like cancel each other out almost. I did all of this research and studying about what people go through when they grieve, you know, it's like, are you imagining these things? But the evidence out there seems to be mostly that you're not. I mean, so I know that I had these experiences, and I just really believe that there's an afterlife. I've had enough things happen with this one person pass away. And then I started interviewing and researching and interviewing other people. And I listen to their stories now, and I believe that there is something to it.
I fully was a skeptic as well. My first experience with a psychic was I used to work in what I refer to as the last head shop on Long Island in the 90s. It was mostly a kind of a holistic bookstore that sold like futons and incense and candles. And I was the hippie kid who worked there, one of many. And we were approached by a woman who claimed to be a psychic, and she wanted to rent the back. You know, we'd never done it before. We never thought of it, but it's kind of interesting. You know, it's like, why not? You know, you can say you have a psychic. And she was without a doubt scamming people. And that was my first feeling that it was, you know, this is all just nonsense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it was really, you know, it really kind of crushed me because I did have a belief in it. And then I was speaking to the woman, and she was just an awful person. And and we quickly ended the relationship with her, of course. Mm-hmm. But moving on, you know, I met a lot of people when I worked at I worked in publishing and stuff, and I dealt with a lot of authors and a lot of people who were legitimate, and they would talk to me, and they're not selling their gift. You know, like one woman who is an author, but she also worked with me. She had this gift, you know, and I think calling it a gift like you did is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was going through something and we were just talking about it, and she just seemed to know me so well, but I barely knew this person. And I just kind of asked her, I'm like, did I tell you this already? Like, did we have this as a conversation? And that's when she just disclosed, you know, this is something that's in my family and all of this, you know, and she went on with her story. And it was the first time it kind of, I guess the younger Mark thought, all right, they're all scams because this one terrible person's a scam.
Right.
And this woman just kind of redeemed my faith that, all right, that woman, you know, maybe she even had a gift at some time and was corrupted by money or something. But this person is not selling me anything. She's not telling me to do anything that's, you know, that's going to cost me, you know, emotions or money. So, you know, she has no reason to lie to me. And, you know, she does seem to have this connection. Like you were saying, this, you kind of know it, right? Like it's a feeling in your gut when you know somebody is being genuinely honest with you. And that redeemed my faith in it slowly, of course. And then,
But also when they feel things that there's no way that they could know, you know, I lived in Columbia County, and this psychic at Mirabai Woodstock, I mean, she knew nothing about any of us in this class. Mm-hmm. We just showed up. She knew nothing about us, not even our names. And you walk up and you stand in front of her, put your hands over hers. And then she says, okay, sit down. And, you know, there's just no way they can know.
That's the evidence, is your personal experience with it,
you
know, and that's the thing you can't prove to anyone. And it doesn't matter if people don't believe, because, and that's another thing that I was able to take away with it is because I shared my experience and like, oh yeah, whatever, eventually she'll ask you for money. And it's like, you're not getting it. You know, it's not about that. And, and she never did, of course, you know, it's like, you know, this is accurate. I also understand, you know, just, we were saying before, it's really great to do things for a labor of love. You know, like I'm sure you absolutely love writing, but you have to pay the bills. So I understand that psychics will ask for X amount of dollars for their time. You know, time is money. It's just it's the way the world works, especially in New York, right? So, it's like asking you to write something and to say, just give it to me. You know, that's just not the way it works. But if these people do have a gift, I just feel as though it's, for the most part, you know, speak with them like you did and see how you feel with them. Don't just jump right into it. But it sounds like you had a wonderful experience. It was very helpful in your grieving.
It was. It was just, she clarified a lot of things for me. Number one, it just kind of gave me all the proof that I needed that, you know, there was something to these events. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I wasn't, when so many things happen, you're not imagining it, number one. And there were other people present at my house that noticed things too. And so it was nice to just have this confirmation. So, you know, I started to research the different types of people like clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudient people. And I wrote about that in Haunt and Catskills, like what skills do these people have? Mm-hmm. And so I think that there are, you know, untapped senses and parts of our brains that we're not fully aware of how to use, but some people have these gifts and they're able to use them.
Mm-hmm. Are you working on anything right now? Like, do you have any projects? Every writer has projects, I guess, right? It's like, you can't just
yes.
stop.
Like I said, I'm trying to do some more books that are, you know, expanded on this subject that have to do with New York and the Berkshires, because I think there's just a lot of material here. And certainly a lot of people that you can interview and, you know, hear their stories of, you know, hauntings and buildings. And so I'm just still fascinated with the subject.
Mm-hmm. So I am on your website right now, and you have a number of different designs that you sell and prints mm-hmm. and different your bags. Are those yeah. silk screened?
No, they're just on canvas bags. It's a watercolor that's transferred onto a canvas bag or a pillow through Fine Art America.
Oh, that's really nice. I mean, and when you're holding it, it really looks like that. I hate yes. to say it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I've ordered some for friends and family for holidays. Yeah,
they really look cool. Like that. I love that. They look as though they're each one is hand painted. That's really nice.
Yeah, it's, you know, the original art was hand painted in watercolor yeah. and then, you know, it's uploaded into, you know, the company's system and then they, you know, apply it to products.
It's really nice. It's like an all over print. So I always like that. Also on pillows and bags. And mm-hmm. I also saw your interview on YouTube, I believe a PBS special.
Yes. And that was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah. PBS. I dealt with PBS in the past and, even like the big and the small PBS, I always look at it like that, but they're always amazing. Like I don't yeah. care if it's in the middle of like in Albuquerque or something like that. You meet the nicest people through PBS. I really think that it's such a wonderful organization.
Yes. It was a great experience. It mm-hmm. was just, you know, they had me on their show twice and, you know, once was just about the art that I do. And then they wanted to do, you know, some filming based on locations in the Haunted Catskills book. Mm-hmm. And it was just a lot of fun. It was such a great experience to do that. And flattering that, you know, somebody, you know, was interested in your material. So yeah, it's something I never forget doing and, you know, hope it will continue. You know, like I said, the region of, you know, New York and the Berkshires, there's so much material that can be filmed about and written about. So hopefully it's not a one-time experience.
It sounds like you're on a path and it sounds like you're in a comfortable path. So that means it'll yes. continue.
I hope so.
but Lisa, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today. I know that you have another engagement in a little bit, so I'll let you get skedaddling.
Well, thank you so much, Mark, and I hope that we get to meet in person because we're not that far apart geographically. Yeah. And you know, I can always come down there and let me know if you're ever in this region, and you know, maybe we can all hang out and
that'd be awesome.
Tour the area.
Yeah, I always want to kind of explore different parts of New York, and your books are the kind of books I would pick up first. You know, like, all right, let's check out the Catskills. It's like, no, I don't want to see the tourist guide. I want to see the haunted right. stuff first.
Right.
And I have a 10-year-old son, so that's exactly what he wants to see as well. Right. Even though when he gets there, he's like, eh, maybe I'll wait in the car. You know,
depending on the mood and the yeah, day and the weather and
exactly.
you know, time of year. You know, this is the time of year where we're primed to be ready for ghost stories. Yes. So.
So you can learn all about Lisa LaMonica at lisalamonica.com. I'll put a link to it in the show notes as well as a link to all of her books. And again, Lisa, thank you so much for your time.